We're going to be in the book of Jeremiah this morning. Topical teaching this morning that the Lord has laid upon my heart, and I hope it speaks to you this morning. Jeremiah 29, probably a very familiar verse to a lot of us. Jeremiah 29, verses 10 through 13, as we get going this morning. I hope you'll take some notes. I hope that you will look back at some of the scriptures that I point out this morning. You won't have time to turn to them quickly because I'm going to go through them rather quick. So if you write them down, look at it later on today. There's no football to watch, so you'll have plenty of time to study. Unless you take a nap like I'm going to take. But anyways, Jeremiah 29, verses 10 through 13. Follow along as I read this morning. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. We're going to concentrate mainly on verse number 11 this morning, but scientists that study the population of the world say that there's about 7 billion people, billion with a B, 7 billion people. That number kind of causes me to think, wow, that's a lot of people. How does that represent? I got to put that into ways that I can look at that number and say, that's a lot of people. Well, this is how I did it. Dolphin Stadium, where the Miami Dolphins play, holds 65,326 people when full. 65,326 people. If you took 7 billion and divided that into it, it would be 107,154 times you could fill that stadium. 107,154 times. And if you did it once a day, it would take over 293 years to do that. That's a lot of people. 7 billion people on the face of the earth. And maybe when we say that, and we think about all those people trying to fill that big stadium down there 107,000 plus times, you think, wow, I must be a pretty insignificant person. How in the world would God have somebody have time for somebody like me? When he's got all the world to look after. He's got this whole big earth to think about. We're going to look at how the Bible teaches us this morning. How God knows everything there is to know about all 7 billion people. Everything there is to know about all 7 billion people upon the face of the earth today. The truth is that these verses that we just read teach us that he does think about us. He thinks about you and you and you and me. He thinks about us each and every day in a wonderful way. The word that was spoken in these verses, it was spoken to the people of Israel. Where were they? Well, they were in captivity in Babylon during this time. That's where they were. And their promise of safe return to their homeland was still in front of them. But God is telling them that you will come back after 70 years are completed. You see, there's an application for them, but there's also a tremendous application in these verses for our church today and for us as individuals. As we look at verse number 11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. It's my hope and my prayer today that that verse encourages you. We're going to look at one question this morning. The name of my topical teaching is this. What does God think about you? What does God think of you? And maybe as we think about 7 billion people on the face of the earth, maybe we think that he doesn't think about us at all. But the truth has it, and we're going to look in Scripture, that he does. We're going to see exactly how the Lord thinks about each one of us. And my prayer is this, that as I've studied this over this last week, that these would be words of encouragement to you. Maybe you're going through a difficult time. Maybe you're going through that time, that valley in your life, and you just don't think God thinks about you. I want to show you that he does. I want to show you that God has his eye upon you and your life today. and that he's concerned about you. And as we approach this subject this morning, what does God think about you? There's three questions that we have to ask and that you'll have to answer to yourself. Question number one, how well does God really know you? How well does God really know you? In verse number 11, it says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Where was God writing? Well, God was writing to the nation of Israel, and they were in captivity in Babylon, just as we said. God is reminding them at this time that in spite of their pain, in spite of their suffering, they're on his mind. He hadn't forgotten about them. He's working out that perfect will in their lives. And when he's finished, he's going to change them. You see, when Israel went to Babylon as prisoners, the nation was guilty of idolatry. And you see, when they came out, they never resorted to that sin of idolatry again. God used that time when they thought they were forgotten, when they thought they were forsaken, to make them stronger and better for his glory. We studied that on Wednesday night as I had the opportunity to teach through the book of Malachi. We talked about the Israelites. They thought they were forgotten and forsaken. They were complaining to God, and that's what the Israelites were doing here. They were complaining to God, and God was reminding them, I haven't forgotten you. You're important to me. You're important to me. You see, God's knowledge of us is individual. All 7 billion people, his knowledge is individual of each one. It's a reminder that of all the people in the world, all 7 billion people, God has his mind on you this morning. He has his mind on you this morning. He sees you not just as a member of that 7 billion people of the vast human race. He sees you as an individual. He sees me as an individual. He has specific thoughts about you. He cares about you. You're an individual on his mind. Verse number 11, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. I know people often wonder, what in the world does God know about them? Well, the fact is that God knows everything there is to know about you and me. He knows it all. The Bible is clear when it talks about the scope of knowledge of each one of us. And if we think about that, it can be a little mind-boggling. Maybe it even concerns us a little bit that God knows everything there is to know about us. But really, it should be a comfort to each one of us. It should be a giant comfort to us that God knows everything about each one of us. You see, God's knowledge of us is individual. But you see, God's knowledge of us is also intimate. It's intimate. Matthew 10, 29 through 31 says this. What is the price of 2 sparrows? 1 copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. You see, the key to that verse is don't be afraid. God knows it all. Those verses tell us of the value that God puts on his creation. Even the little sparrow that falls to the ground, he knows about it. He knows about the number of hairs on our head. Mine are getting worse and worse and less every day. So the number keeps going down. That's okay. Saves me on the price of shampoo. He knows the number of hairs on our head. God knows us better than our friends, our family, and even ourselves. Do you think about that? God knows us better than our friends, our family, or even ourselves. What a beautiful picture that is. You see, the reality is that he's so concerned with our lives that he knows the very number of hairs upon our head. And if he can be concerned about something so insignificant as that, then let's rest assured that he'll watch over us and that he'll be there And that the knowledge of our lives is so detailed to him that we can be assured that he knows everything about us. Everything about us. The Lord knows our deepest and darkest secrets. And he knows our thoughts. He knows our motives. And he knows our plans. God's knowledge of us is intimate. But God's knowledge of us is also infinite. Infinite. Listen to Psalm 139, verse 16. It says this: "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." You see, in this psalm, David is telling us that God is everywhere. God is everywhere, knowing everything. Knowing before we even came into the world. You see, before I came into the world, before I was born in 1956, yes, I just told you how old I am, 1956, God knew that my parents would move us to Fort Lauderdale in 1960, that I would graduate from FAU in 78, that I would marry my wife and have two kids, and that my son and I would be digging holes in the ground making swimming pools. He knew that before I was born. Isn't that awesome? He knows all about you. He knew where you were going to be today. He knew where you're going to be yesterday. He knows where you're going to be tomorrow. He knows it all. That's such a wonderful verse, Psalm 139:16. "You saw me before I was born." You see, God's knowledge of us is infinite. You see, God knows the most infinite, intimate details of our lives. We don't want to forget that. God misses nothing that we do. He sees it all. Regardless of where we go, God is watching over us. Think of Jonah for just a moment. What did Jonah do? Well, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach the gospel. What did Jonah do? He turned around and ran the opposite way. Ran to a ship, got thrown off the ship, went into the belly of a fish, got spewed up on the beach. When he ran the opposite way, what happened? Where did he go? He ran into God. He wasn't running away like he thought he was. He ran right into God. You see, God knew exactly what Jonah was going to do. God is everywhere. He sees and knows it all. His knowledge of us is individual, intimate, infinite, and his knowledge of us is also instant. It's instant. The knowledge of the Lord in regards to our lives is always before the Lord. Think about it. He even knows when the sparrow falls to the ground. He knows about everything. Psalm 139:4 says this: "You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord." Wow, that's a pretty heavy verse. You know what I'm going to say before I even say it. So when I'm in Publix with my three or four items going through the speed checkout and there's some person in front of me with a basket full of groceries in the wrong checkout line, he knows what I'm going to say. Hopefully I don't say anything. You know what I'm going to say before I say it. His knowledge of us is instant. And see, you can be sure that he's aware of everything that happens in your life on a moment, by second basis. God's eye, constantly on your life. I love Proverbs 15:3. It says, "The Lord is watching everywhere, keeping his eye on both the evil and the good." You see, God's up in heaven watching, and when he looks down and sees something happening, he doesn't say, "Wow, I didn't know that was going to happen." No, God is watching everything. He sees the evil. He sees the good. He sees it all. He doesn't miss anything. Nothing takes him by surprise. That should be an encouragement to us because we know that nothing happens in our life that can catch God off guard. He knows about it before it happens. He knows the roadmap for our life. You see, when we talk about roadmaps, you know, we used to have maps that folded out and all that kind of stuff. You could never fold them back, and they would be shoved in your glove compartment. For those that are here that don't know about that, the young people, we used to have fold-up maps. And We don't use those anymore. We use our phones and our tablets now. We go to Google Maps. That's what I do. And it tells me exactly how I'm going to get there. I can either go this route, or maybe I can go that route, or I can go that route. Depends on how I want to go. You see, it's laid out exactly for me. But you see, that's what God has for our lives. He has that map already worked out. It's already, we're going to go this way and this way and this way and this way to get to that point. He knows and sees the whole parade, just like Pastor Ken often says. We can see just that little piece of parade right in front of us, but God sees the thing from the beginning to the end. That roadmap is complete. God sees it all. He sees it all in an instant. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. He knows it all. He knows it all. And you know, as we think about that, that God's knowledge of us is individual, intimate, infinite, and instant, that can be kind of mind-boggling to me. As I was studying this, I said, wow, that's a lot to comprehend. That's a lot to comprehend, that God knows everything there is to know about everything. David summed it up like this. David in the book of Psalms summed it up like this. In Psalm 139:6. It says this, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. And when we look at that verse and we think about that, we say, God, it's okay that we don't understand it all. We don't understand how you know when a sparrow falls to the ground. I don't. I don't understand how he knows the number of hairs on my head. But he does. Because the scriptures say that he does. And we don't have to understand all that. Just like the psalmist David said, it's just too much. It's too wonderful for me. But we can say that it's too wonderful for me that we know these promises are what they are. Question number one, how well does God really know you? Well, he knows you in a very special way, in that individual, intimate, infinite, and instant way. God knows you that way. He knows you very well. Question number two, what is revealed by God's knowledge of you? What is revealed by God's knowledge of you? Well, we see from the scriptures that we've just been through that God sees every single detail of our life. So what does that knowledge reveal, the knowledge of us reveal to God? Well, there's areas of our life that are constantly before him. What are those areas? Well, God knows about your sins. God knows about your sins. You see, in this scripture in Jeremiah, he knew all about Israel's sins. That there was nothing in their hearts or their lives that he didn't know. And it's exactly the same with us. God knows us. He knows all about our sins. People can be silly. And they think, oh, hide that from God. He won't know. He won't see. You see, God has seen the first sin since it was committed in the Garden of Eden. And he's seen every single sin since. So God is no less aware today than he was then. Psalm 90 verse 8 says this, you spread out our sins before you, our secret sins, and you see them all. You spread out our sins before you, our secret sins, and you see them all. You see, with that truth in mind, when we read that scripture, it's easy to see that it's impossible to hide one's sins from God. God knows about our sins. God knows about our situations that we're going through. God knows everything there was to know about the sufferings of Israel back then in Jeremiah. He knew about the wickedness of the Babylonians. He knew exactly what was going on. He knew about the cruelty of the Babylonians. But nothing was hidden from God as he was speaking to them. Job 23:10 says, but he knows where I'm going, and when he tests me, I will come out as pure gold. When we go through those situations, God may be molding us, You know, in Malachi, we talked about the refiner's fire. The refiner sat in front of this big pot of precious silver or gold, and it was heated up, and all the stuff on the top was gunk, and it all had to come off and be skimmed off and thrown away until that metal was precious gold or silver. And you see, that's what God does to us sometimes in our situations. He's putting us through. He's molding us. He takes us like that lump of clay, and he molds us, and he pulls us, and he stretches us. When I came here to church 5 years ago, I was part of the worship team. The last thing that I ever thought that I'd be up here teaching. But you see, God had a different idea for me, and I had to go to his will. It was hard to give up worshiping because I like to be a part of worship, something that I've done all my life. But God had something different for me. He was molding and stretching. You see, that verse in Job 23 tells us that the Lord knows everything that was happening in the life of his servant Job. He knows everything that's happening in your life as well. Nothing that ever comes to your life catches the Lord by surprise. He's allowed it to happen to mold you and stretch you and bring you closer to his will. Sometimes those burdens that we go through, we feel that they're more than we can bear. But you see, in the midst of them, we have some really, really spectacular promises that we can draw upon. Here's some. He knows about it. God knows about what you're going through. He's allowed it to happen because it's part of his plan for your life. And we have to accept that he's going to bring us through that situation safely. He's in the midst of it. He's in the midst of that situation that you might be going through right now. Hebrews 13:5 says this, "Don't love money, be satisfied with what you have. For God has said," and I love this part, "I will never fail you, I will never abandon you." That's a promise that we should have on our bathroom mirrors, our dashboard of our car as we're driving in South Florida on I-95 at 5 o'clock. I will never fail you, I'll never abandon you. That's a beautiful promise. I love that scripture, Hebrews 13:5. But you see, there's times when the presence of the Lord can't be seen or felt in our lives. And I know that. But he's there nonetheless. He's there nonetheless, protecting and providing and watching over his children. He's there with us. As we studied in Malachi, the Israelites in Malachi, they thought that God had abandoned them. And what did they say? What good is it to serve you? The evil is getting better and the good people are going down. You see, they had forgotten that God was still there with them, protecting, providing, and watching out for his children. God cares about what we're facing. And if it doesn't feel like God cares, but in truth, he cares more than we can ever know. 1 Peter 5:7 says it this way, "Give all your worries and your cares to God." And what's the last part of that? "For he cares for you." What a beautiful promise that is. As we go through difficult times in our life, we know that God cares about us. He cares about us. He's promised grace to bring us through. When that load seems heavier than it's able to bear, the Lord has promised to meet that need and to give you the grace that is sufficient to help you get through it. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says it this way, "Each time he said, 'My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me.'" The Apostle Paul said that through his weakness, Christ worked through him. So when we don't think we can make it through, we go to God. He loves us. He cares for us. You see, he's promised to be in the midst of our trials, right there in the midst of them. Even in the middle of that weary day that we've gone through, those times that are really tough and we've had a difficult day, the Lord has promised rest to us as his children if we'll come and lay our burdens down, if we go to him. Matthew 11, 28 says this, "Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all you are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest.'" I'll give you rest. Jesus said he cares about our cares, and now he says, "I'll give you rest. You can rest in me that I will be there right with you." You see, when those storms darken the way, when the burdens seem heavy to carry, and the sorrows and the troubles seem to hide the face of God from us, we don't want to be deceived into thinking that God doesn't know or he doesn't care, because he does. The scriptures say that he does. God knows everything about your situation today, and he'll get you through it. He'll get you through it. If we think back about some of the lessons taught in the Word of God, remember that the Bible declares that God was faithful on behalf of his people. And this is an important thing to remember, because I think sometimes we forget about this. The God that did some of the things that I'm going to mention in a moment is the same God that we serve today. He's the same one. He hasn't changed. Some of the things he did, he parted the Red Sea in Exodus 14. He gave the Israelites a way to get away from the Egyptian army. He got them through. The water parted, and they went through, and as the water came back down on the army, they were all taken care of. He got him away. He parted the Red Sea. He protected the three Hebrews in Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They went into a fiery furnace, and he protected them. They came out not even smelling like smoke. He protected Daniel in Daniel 6 when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den for not stepping up and worshiping King Nebuchadnezzar. He protected Daniel. He fed and watered the Israelites for 40 years with manna from heaven and water from a rock. He fed the 5,000 in John 6. 5,000 people with just a few loaves and a few fish. He came to the disciples in the midst of the storm. He sent the disciples out, and a storm came. Who sent the storm? Well, God did. God ordered the storm. But you see, he knew about the storm. But he was right there with them. He walked out and he calmed the storm. He was right there with them. When the disciples were in the boat and Jesus was in the back of the boat and the storm came up and the disciples were in trouble and they knew that they were in fear of losing their lives, God was right with them. Jesus was right with them in the boat. He didn't leave. He came and calmed the storm. As you go through that difficult time of your life, that difficult season of your life, God is right there with you. He's right there with you. He knows about us in intimate detail, and he'll take care of us. Question number one was, how well does God really know you? Question number two, what is revealed by God's knowledge of you? And question number three is, how does God react to his knowledge of you? God has this intimate, detailed, personal knowledge of each of us, but what does he do with it? God's knowledge of your life and mine cause him to respond to us. Three ways God moves in his response to his people. Number one, God reacted towards you and me in the past. What do I mean by that? Well, God moved in Israel's past by choosing them over other nations of the earth. We can read that in Deuteronomy 7. He moved by delivering the Israelites from the Egyptian bondage in Exodus 12 and 15. He moved by bringing them through the wilderness and into the promised land, Joshua 1. He had plans for the nation of Israel. He had plans for them. Not plans of evil, but plans of peace. Plans that were designed to bring them to that expected end. You see, God moves like that in the lives of his children. You see, God took steps in the past to meet the deepest need that we have. God took steps in the past to meet the deepest need that we have. What is that need? Well, our need to be saved. That was the need. That was the biggest need. God took steps. God knew that man was going to sin. God knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew that he had to have a way for a means of salvation. That plan was the same plan then as what we have today. 1 Peter 1, 18 through 19 says this, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life that you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was paid with the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God." You see, that plan was fulfilled when Christ died on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood, paid our sin debt. 3 days later, arose from the dead. We're going to celebrate that in just 3 weeks. The Resurrection Sunday. He ascended back to his Father to be that mediator between God and man. And you see, anybody can have that sin taken care of today by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior by faith. That's why John 3:16 says it all. "For God so loved" who? "The whole world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God reacted toward us in the past by providing a means of salvation for us. But you see, God reacts towards you in the present time also. From Israel's perspective in the Old Testament, it looked as if God had abandoned them. That's what they thought. When they were in captivity in Babylon, going through those terrible sufferings that they were going through, the cruel treatment at the hands of their enemies, it seemed like God had forgotten them, like their prayers had accomplished nothing, that they were in their tents praying and the prayers were going to the top of the tent and falling back down. It didn't seem like they were getting anywhere. That's how things appeared to them. Sometimes it appears to us that way too. Sometimes that's how life appears to us when we face those burdens and those times of troubles. His promises, though, what we've already read this morning, are as good today as they've ever been. And that's an important thing for us to remember this morning, that God's promises that we've read today are as good today as they were then, to help us through those difficult times. Philippians 4:19 says this, "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." He'll supply all our needs. Doesn't say he's going to supply all our wants. He says he'll supply our needs. Question may arise at this time. You might come to me and say, "Pastor Ron, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and God doesn't seem to answer my prayer. Why? Why?" I don't know. But I can tell you this, that God's timeline is not our timeline. His timeline is his timeline. And we may not understand it. You know, God can respond in one of three ways: yes, no, and wait. We've been praying here at the church for over a year for a location for the radio antenna for the radio station. And we've looked at many, many locations. And we thought that we had a location ready to go, and God closed the door. He said no. And it's hard to understand why we haven't seen that yet. But God's timeline for the radio station is his timeline, not our timeline. We need to be faithful and pray. And I hope you are praying on a regular basis that where we're supposed to put that antenna up, that it'll go up. I hope you're praying for that. That's an urgent prayer request for the church that you can put on your prayer calendar and pray every day. God reacts towards you in the present. But you see, God reacts towards you in his promises. as we've said, Israel probably thought that the Lord had forgotten about them. All about his promises that God had made to them and their fathers. But you see, the text in Jeremiah was sent to them to remind them that God had not forgotten. And according to our text, it says the Lord thinks good thoughts about his people. His desire is to give them good, give them an unexpected end. The idea that the Lord knew where they were and where he was taking them, to give them a future and a hope. The same applies to us. Not a single promise of God will fail. Not a single one. He'll keep every promise that he's ever made. He'll keep every promise he'll ever made. He will fulfill his word. He'll bring us through those valleys that we go through. He'll be with us. He'll walk beside us. I love that poem, Footprints in the Sand, when it says, God, why did you leave me when there was only one set of footprints in the sand? Why did you make me walk alone during the most difficult times of my life? And what does it say? That's when I carried you, my child. I carried you during that time. He has a plan for your life. Our duty is to walk in his will. When Pastor Ken told me that he wanted me to give up the worship team and become part of the pastoral team, I said, oh, I don't think so. That's not me. And I fought that for a month or so. But God finally shoved it into my head and said, Ron, listen, that's not my will anymore. I've got something else for you. I had to walk in his will. You see, if we walk in his will and do what he calls us to do, we're going to end up right where he wants us to be. Remember the words of Job. Job 23:10, but he knows where I'm going. And when he tests me, I will come out as pure gold. As he's stretching you this morning, as he's molding you this morning like that lump of clay. God knows the way. God plans the way that he wants us to take. God allows everything in our life to mold us and to shape us into his image. What does God think about you this morning? When he thinks about you, does he do so with love? Well, we know from Romans 5 that God is not mad at us. He loves us. We're in a period of grace right now. He thinks of the great plans that he has for your life this morning. No matter where you are, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, there's help and there's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ today for you. Maybe you said, Ron, I don't get any of this stuff. Well, have you asked Jesus to come into your life? Have you asked him to be a part of your life, to control your life? I'm going to give you a moment and just when I close in prayer to pray a prayer this morning to give you that opportunity. Maybe there's something this morning that you need to go before the Lord with and say, God, help me with this. Are you in his will for your life this morning? Maybe you just need to speak to him as I'm praying. Talk to God and tell him, I'm sorry for the things that I've done. I'm sorry for those things that I haven't followed you close enough on. You can do that this morning. God knows everything there is to know about us. That's a wonderful thought. He loves us with all his heart.